The Gospel of John, John chapter 16. We begin our study today in verse 29, and let's begin with prayer. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's begin reading in verse 28, as Jesus speaks to his apostles. He says, I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speak you plainly, and speak no proverb. Now we are sure that you know all things, and need not that any man should ask you. But this we believe, that you came forth from God. So the apostles are talking as if they get it. They get it now. Okay, we understand your teaching now, Jesus. And they seem confident that they have arrived. And things are starting to click. And they may understand more than what they did earlier. And I'm sure they do. And that's good, but they, like us, have a long way to go in our knowledge of God and in our knowledge of the Word of God. In fact, I think it's safe to say that we don't know a lot more than we do know. No matter how long we've walked with the Lord, we don't know a lot more than we do know. It is a learning process, a work in progress for all of us Christians. 31. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour comes, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Their knowledge, in other words, that they are happy that they have that knowledge, and it's a good thing, but their knowledge, according to what Jesus says, is not going to translate into faith when the heat is on. Because when Jesus is arrested, they're going to take off running. Just goes to show that no matter how much we know about the Bible, and even no matter how devoted we are to Christ, we can, in a moment of weakness, fail our Lord badly. Verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And notice, Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation. Jesus does not promise us that everything is going to be wonderful if we become a Christian and if we follow him. Jesus is very honest about the way things are for his people in this life. He gives us the truth. He doesn't sugarcoat the Christian life. He doesn't sugarcoat the Christian life so that people can decide if they want to go with it or not. Doesn't promise him a bunch of stuff that isn't even true to try to entice them into following him. That would be a waste of time anyway. Chapter 17. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. The hour of Jesus' glory has come, and the hour that he speaks of is the hour of his death. And I know it might be hard to understand how him being tortured and crucified is the hour of his glory, but it is. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ is going to glorify the Father and the Son because it's such an unselfish act. It's an unselfish act for the benefit of sinners who do not deserve it. Verse 2, as you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. If you are a Christian, then you are the Father's gift to the Son. It goes right along with what Jesus said. No one comes to the Son unless the Father draws them. 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And we learn from verse 3 that it's not how much you know that's important. It's who you know. It's not what you know. It's who you know. When it comes to salvation, that's definitely true. Knowing a lot of things about the Bible, knowing a lot of things about the world, about science, about anything, doesn't save anyone from hell. Knowing Jesus personally is what saves a sinner. It boils down to this: no relationship, no salvation. Verse 4. Jesus says, I have glorified you on the earth. And he's talking to his Father. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. God the Father had an assignment for Jesus, and he finished it. His assignment, I think, could be boiled down to two basic things. He lived a sinless life, and then he died to pay for our sins. So he finished the work that the Father had for him. He honored God by doing what God wanted him to do. The biggest and the best reason to obey God is because it honors him. 5. And now, O Father, glorify me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So Jesus is talking about how wonderful it was before he came to earth. He shared the glory of God in heaven forever in the past. And now he says, God, glorify me again with that same glory that I had with you before I came here. And so you see that Jesus is looking forward to getting back to heaven. That was home to Jesus. This earth was never home to Jesus. And so he's looking forward to getting back home. And heaven will be home to us one day too. And when it is, we're not going to miss this earth one bit. And I don't think we're going to miss anybody or anything here. We will want them to be with us in heaven, but given the choice, we would never come back here. Verse 6. I have manifested your name unto the men that you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And I like this. I like what Jesus does here. He is praying to the Father, and he is talking about his disciples. And the only thing that he really mentions is that they have kept his word. Jesus doesn't say anything about his disciples' sins or lack of faith at times or carnal attitude at times. Instead, Jesus focuses on the positive thing, which is that they kept the word of God. The faith that they had in Jesus Christ covered all the wrong that they did. And the only thing that Jesus really talked about was their faithfulness to the word of God. And it works the same with us too. We do our share of bad things as Christians. But our faith in Jesus Christ overshadows it all and keeps us clean in the eyes of God. That's the thing that God sees, our faith in his Son. 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are of you. And when Jesus says, now they, his disciples, know all things whatsoever you have given me are of you. And the all things here refer to the disciples themselves. So Jesus is saying, Father, you have given me these disciples of mine. And he prays that in front of his disciples. So I think that's pretty neat. I like how Jesus says these things to the Father right in front of his men or his disciples in general. And what a nice thing for Christ to do for these guys. Talk to the Father about them in their presence and say, you know, and say nice things about them. God, these are your gift to me. What a wonderful thing to say. He's making them feel welcome in the presence of the Father and in the presence of the Son. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that you did send me. Notice he says, I have given unto them the words which you gave me. Jesus is talking about the Word of God. He says, I've given to these men, to these disciples of mine, the Word of God. And that's what he did give them. Jesus did not give his disciples material things. He could have. He could have lavished upon them all sorts of material things. Well, it's true that he fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He fed them a couple of times like that, but those are the only things mentioned. He could have lavished all sorts of expensive clothing and gifts upon them. He could have created anything out of absolutely nothing and given them to his disciples. I mean, he could have created a dune buggy 2,000 years before the automobile was invented. And they could have been scooting around the desert in a dune buggy if he wanted to. I mean, he could do anything, but he didn't give them any material things. He gave them his word, because that's the most important thing. The most important thing that a church can give is the Word of God, by far. Follow Jesus' example. There's a lot of good things that a church can do if they have the right people and the right setup, but the most important thing by far that any church can do is give out the Word of God. That's what Jesus gave out. And that's because the only thing of lasting value that we have, the only thing of eternal value that we have, is the Word of God. Everything else is going to go up in smoke. And the Word of God is the most valuable thing that we can share with others. And even those who aren't called to teach God's Word or preach God's Word can help share it by helping those who are called. Verse 9. Jesus says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that you have given me, for they are yours. So Jesus prays for those who belong to him. I like it when I know that anyone is praying for me. But just think how great it is to know that Jesus is praying for us. The Bible says he always lives to make intercession for us. So even now in heaven he's praying for us, if we belong to him. Verse 10, he says, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Jesus is glorified in his disciples. And I think this goes back to verse 8, where Jesus said, they have believed that you did send me. And that's why Jesus was glorified in them. Jesus was glorified in his disciples and in anyone else who believes that he's the Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. That glorifies Jesus when we believe that, because it's true. It is not cool in the eyes of Jesus Christ to be open-minded about Jesus being the only way. I saw a clip from Larry King Live several months back. There was a preacher on there, a Christian so-called preacher. And Larry King asked him, he said, now, do you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Oh, well, here's an opportunity for this preacher to give out the truth to millions of people for free. He said, His answer was, well, Jesus is my way to God. But he might not be somebody else's way, but he is my way to God. And oh boy, he thought he was being so sophisticated and so modern and so open-minded, and it was just so lovely. In reality, he was denigrating the holy name of Jesus. He was contradicting what Jesus said. And so he was dishonoring the Father and the Son by not stating what Jesus says, and that's that Christ is the only way. And even Larry King said, and he's not a Christian, he said, well, how can you be a minister if you don't believe that Jesus is the only way? He was rebuked by an unsaved person. 11. Jesus continues his prayer, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Jesus is praying for our security. He is saying, Father, you've given them to me. Now keep them for me. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus protected his disciples while he was here. But now that he's leaving, he prays for the Father to protect them. I'm not going to be around, so Father, would you please protect them? And Jesus did a good job protecting his followers. No one took any of them away. The only one that Jesus lost was Judas, who wasn't taken, but rather left of his own free will. 13. And now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So Jesus is giving the word of God here. He says, these things I say, and that would be the word of God, so that my disciples will have joy. Some people have a faulty picture of God. They think that he is ornery, angry, miserable. He isn't. Not at all. God is not ornery, he is not miserable, and he doesn't want his followers to be that way either. He wants our joy to be full. He wants us to stay close to him because that's how we remain joyful. The more sold out we are to Christ, the deeper our joy is going to be. 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Rebels despise instruction. That's why they despise the Bible. And Christians who love it. That's what Jesus is talking about. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. You know, the world is rebellion against God. They don't like the word of God. They despise instruction in general. And that's why they despise the Bible and Christians who love it. And it's too bad that it has to be that way, but there really isn't a whole lot you can do about it. Because people decide for themselves what they're going to be like. 15. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. Good Christians are a pain in the neck to the devil and the people who follow him. No wonder Jesus said, I pray that you protect them from the evil. That would be from the evil one. If it wasn't for the protection of God and the intercession of Jesus Christ, I think Satan and his demons and his followers would kill people the second they came to Christ. Because we who have the word of God and live for Jesus and honor him are just really a pain in the neck. 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus is talking about his followers, Christians. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. A genuine Christian, in other words, is different from those who are not saved. There's a real difference. Their thinking is different. Their priorities are different. Their talking is different. Their behavior is different. All these things are different. A genuine Christian is different. A genuine Christian is like Jesus. They care about the souls of people. And the way this world operates, apart from the will of God, is sickening to them. You know, if there's no difference between somebody who calls himself a Christian and a non-Christian, then that so-called Christian is just a phony Christian. 17. Jesus prays, "Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth." That's how holiness comes. Through the word of God. There are no tricks, there are no gimmicks, there are no self-help books, there are no 12-step programs that can make anyone more holy, that can make anyone more like Christ. I know authors make millions of dollars selling these books, but they're not God's way, and they don't work. Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's from the inside out. And the greatest tool the Holy Spirit uses is the Word of God. And so the more of the Bible we put in us, the more like Jesus we become. 18. As you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So, just as God the Father sent Jesus into the world to live holy and to die on the cross for our sins, we're to do what Jesus did while he was here. In other words, we're to live the way God wants us to live and do what God wants us to do and do what we can to help people or help spread the word of God to people. Because that's what Jesus did. We're taking his place. Verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Jesus says, I'm setting myself apart. That's what sanctified means. I'm setting myself apart to you, God, so that these disciples of mine can be set apart for you also. And by that he means that by dying for our sins and sending the Holy Spirit to live in Christians, Jesus made it possible for us to live right and to live the way that he lived. 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word. And that's us. We believe in Jesus through the words of the apostle. That's us. Christians are Christians because they have believed what the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles to write in the New Testament. That's the only reason that we're Christians. No one gets saved apart from the word of God. Now, somebody doesn't have to read it verse by verse, you know, right out of the Bible, but you have to hear the Word of God about Jesus to be saved. Nobody gets saved apart from the Word of God. Through the words that the apostles spoke, like Jesus said. That's why I would not give 2 cents as an offering to any preacher who tells jokes and stories and talks politics and anything and everything else except the pure word of God. I wouldn't give them 2 cents. And anybody who does give them offerings is going to answer to God for where they put their money. Who needs all that stuff? No lost soul ever gets saved, and no saved person ever gets sanctified unless the words of the apostles are given the way God gave it, and that would be line upon line and precept upon precept, the word of God. It's the only way things happen. It's the only way. 21. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. The more sanctified and sold out to Jesus Christians, the more sanctified and sold out to Jesus Christians are, the more Holy Spirit unity there will be. That's how unity happens. It's not by trying to be united, it's by being sold out to Jesus Christ. As long as we Christians are in this world, where our knowledge is limited, Christians are going to have different opinions about certain things in Scripture. But the closer we are to Christ, the more our disagreements are going to be expressed in an agreeable way. So the more unity there will be, even with all of our differences of opinions. 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus is grateful to God the Father that the Father loves us as much as the Father loves Jesus. That's an amazing thing to think about, if we're honest, because we know how flawed we are. And yet God the Father loves you and me, Christians, as much as he loves his Son. God the Father loves his eternal Son with a perfect love. That never skips a beat, not even one time, and that's how he loves us as well. 24. Father, I will that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you love me before the foundation of the world. So Jesus is saying, can't wait for these guys, these followers of mine, to be with me in heaven. Jesus looks forward to us being with him in heaven. I think that's why the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. You know, when we lose a Christian friend or loved one, you know, we feel sad, you know, and we miss them, and that's understandable. But it's not a sad day for God. He probably feels sad because we're sad, but he's happy. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because they get to come home. They get to be with him. And that's what Jesus is looking forward to right here. Can't wait for them to get there with me, to be with me. 25. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. These have known that you have sent me. Christians all know that the Father sent the Son to die for our sins. They know that. You can't be a Christian if you don't know that, if you don't believe that. 26. And I have declared unto them your name, and will declare it, that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. So it's all about a relationship. That's what Jesus wants. Jesus wants our walk with him to be very personal, like his relationship with his Father was. He wants us to love him as much as the Father loves him. That's what he's looking for. He's not interested. He doesn't want some cold, stale, formal, religious relationship with us. He's not interested in it. He wants us to appreciate what he has done for us and to care about him in return. That's what he's looking for. We'll pick it up in chapter 18 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.